broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and if I don't sound much better than last night, I can tell you that I'm a little bit better. It's simply a matter of, I guess, perception, but tonight I've been feeling fine for the last couple of weeks, but if you joined us last night and if you've been at all aware of what's been happening on the show behind the scenes, I contracted some kind of vile, nasty illness on the road, most likely as I was traveling north of the border. And I don't want anybody to think that I believe Canada to be a steaming pit of disease, but it would seem that way. No, I'm kidding. It's the luck of the draw, man. You know, when you travel, especially aircraft. And, of course, Art Griego and I got into it last night talking about that airplanes being as filthy as they are. But nonetheless, welcome to our program. And we're going to go again tonight as long as we can. I've got some of the greatest doctors in the world. I've got some of the finest medicines in the world. I've got some of the best dope. I mean, I've got some of the best crew members. And so we're going to be fine. I'm kidding about the reference I made there. Anyway, welcome to the program here, guys. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. World-famous for one reason and one reason only. Most of the time, I don't sound like this. And we're going to be here with you one way or another until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We do a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And I'll tell you something, we do go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. All you got to do is ask them, and they'll tell you that, and because they know they can't lie. All right, now tonight I want to kick off with our affiliate spotlight right off the bat here. Charlotte, WBCN, great station there on the Phil Hendry Radio Show Network, and in Rockford, Illinois, WNTA, that in Rockford. Two stations, two great stations on our radio network. If you go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and you've got a backstage pass subscription to the site, you can watch live streaming video of our show every night. And you can also watch other video features. Sometimes we do one-off. Sometimes we do a little special wrap in the afternoon. Sometimes we'll come on and do commentary. We have a variety of video rants as well on our website. We have at least 15 years of archived radio material. We have our daily podcast. We have webisodes. And I can tell you that this show, the Phil Hendry Show, is well worth it because, as we like to say, it's the only radio show worth watching as well as listening. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I don't know how many phone calls we'll take tonight. We do have some very, very special guests, people who are going to join us here this evening and talk about very important bits of news. Casey Anthony, of course, is, I don't know if she's still at the top of the list, but she's up there. So we are going to talk about Casey Anthony. We're also going to be talking about a situation with a children's bookstore in Las Vegas. Brad Rifkin is an advertising executive. If we get a chance to get to Brad, we're going to talk with him about that. Harvey Wireman will join us. He's an attorney at law to talk about how the attorneys in the Casey Anthony case got all of the facts wrong. I mean, completely wrong. And Chris Norton of Norton Splodes is not withdrawing his porn contract. Vivid did. Mr. Norton is not. All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Joining us tonight from the Valley here in Los Angeles out on Ventura Boulevard, there is a store called Je T'aime Lingerie. It is owned by Rudy Canoza. He is a businessman who does an awful lot of traveling and has been not only here in the United States, but has traveled throughout South America, has been watching the news and has been getting sort of the lay of the land from other countries and, you know, other consumers of the news and other people who are watching what's going on here in the United States. And he joins us this evening from his store. And, Rudy, I want to start off, first of all, by welcoming you. Thank you.
It's always my pleasure, Phil. Any way that I can help you tonight, because
I'm suffering a little bit.
Yes, I can tell you're struggling.
But I also want you to honestly give me that perspective that you have when it comes to, you know, your country.
Yes.
And other countries and the way that America is perceived. Because I don't think I'm stretching the truth when I say that we have some very interesting news. When you talk about the United States, there's always something very strange happening here. And there's always something that is obviously, you know, attracting the attention of the world.
Well, there's no question, Phil, that the United States, for everyone in the world, is the center of opinion is the center of the world, in the sense that the business of the world, the cultural business of the world, the attitude of the world, and in many ways the future of how people are going to perceive society, you know.
Right.
Is the United States. And so these stories you say that are bizarre, I would say that they're not all the stories that come from America are so-called bizarre. There's a great many stories that come from America that I think are uplifting to people.
That's the foghorn. I've heard that in your store before.
Yeah.
And we can talk to our audience about that, but does that have to do...
How are you this evening? The store, when we talk about Jutem lingerie, we have a lingerie, very fine materials. We use a lot of silks, and we do an awful lot of buying from Europe. And so we don't want the samples, and we don't want the items that we're selling to suffer any damage if they're being fitted, if there are some women who are trying them on, you see. If we have, and I don't know how much of this you want
to... Well, I think it's necessary to tell people.
Right, if we have a woman who are coming in this dark evening, are you?
All right.
If we have women coming in, and people can hear that.
Yes, they can.
Right. The reason what we're doing there is that the women who come into the store who are their body type is alarming.
All right. When you say body type is alarming, you're talking about a woman that is overweight, correct?
Say that again, Bill.
When you talk about, I'm not doing too well tonight. When you talk about body type that's alarming, you're talking about an overweight woman.
Not overweight, but thick, large, and big bone, you can say. It's still not necessarily overweight, but that the body type itself is not good to be. Hold on for a minute, Phil. 1, 2, 3. Did you come in? 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Is the...
All right. Okay, so the body type is of such that it's a possibility when the women are trying on the lingerie, they're going to damage it. Now, you know, I want to talk a little bit about Casey Anthony. Hearing that foghorn going off, people should not be distracted.
No, people should not be distracted. It's part of our business.
But they're going to be hearing that, and they're going to ask. So this is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, if you hear the foghorn, it's because there are...
To make it as clear as I can, so there are fat women coming in the store. If you want to say they're fat, they're big women. The big, just big women that are coming into the store. So, how are you? And
that is that you hitting a button?
That is either me or John Chanel, who is my partner here. He sits at the cash register, and that's really all that he does. In fact, tonight he's on the popcorn. I can only tell you that when we have these women that come into the store. And they are, you know, as I mentioned, they are the body type that are going to, we're afraid they're going to stretch out. John, give it a rest, will you? I'm on the radio right now. You know?
Yeah, if he could somehow.
If you need to give it a rest, because I'm on the radio right now. John, when you get. He's my partner.
If anything he can do to keep from hitting that foghorn.
We have a sale going on. I have tried to discourage women who I don't think should wear this kind of clothing from going in our store. And that's why we use this. But Jesus.
You use this foghorn to try to keep women who are too big from coming in and buying your lingerie.
That is correct.
Has it worked?
No, it is not. No, it has not. Yeah, obviously, it has worked. See? There are some nights when we're sitting here, and so there's no way, huh? I'm talking to Johnny. He said there's no way that we cannot use the foghorn because we've got good business tonight, but every other woman that's coming in here, she's a big, big gal, you know.
All right, let's get back to Casey Anthony, and we'll just have to live with this. Talking with Rudy Canoza here, folks, on our radio show this evening. Rudy is the owner of Jutem Lingerie, and we're talking about Casey Anthony. Rudy, when you and I were talking this afternoon, man, you must have a lot of...
Yeah, there's a lot of them, right? We got a lot of big women coming in, Phil. I apologize for that.
Okay, this afternoon when you and I were talking, we were talking about Casey Anthony, and you were talking to me about what you called interdiction or preempting what happened here. In other words, doing something, taking some action.
Go ahead, Phil.
Taking some action that would keep her from behaving the way that she did by lying, and God knows, in the opinion of some of us, boy, I'll tell you, you must be...
If I could leave the store, I would, Phil.
I don't know whether we can do this or not.
Well, I want to help you.
All right, I tell you what, let's take a break here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. I've got Rudy Canoza on the line. He's your partner. He's going to do what he needs to do, I guess, to keep...
There's nothing I can do. John wants to... John said to me... Boy, he's got a pair on him. He said to me, you're the guy, you're the big shot on the radio. I'm just sitting here.
Is he trying to ruin this interview?
No, he's not. I'm looking at what's coming through the door tonight, and it's all what we call, it's all thick business. It's real thick cut stuff.
What do you mean thick cut?
It's a term you would use for bacon. But, and I apologize, I should have told you that, but we use it sometimes for women that come in and choose to look at this.
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. As I mentioned to you guys at the outset of the program tonight, we're going to take this a segment at a time, really, as to how well we can do with the broadcast this evening, because, again, I'm getting over this very severe laryngitis that has afflicted me since my return from Canada. Rudy Canoza at Je T'aime Lingerie this evening on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show, and welcome back. And again, my apologies for the state of my throat, but it's a very severe case of laryngitis that ultimately, and we're taking it one day at a time, I can tell you that it'll get better. Fortunately for me, I've got a very good man with me, Rudy Canoza from Je T'aime Lingerie in Encino, California. And Rudy is right now a lot of business over there, Rudy, as we talk about Casey Anthony. From the standpoint of what the world has seen and the traveling that you do between the United States, Europe, and South America, I wanted to ask you before we... Okay, so we're still not going to be able to do anything in terms of the foghorn, huh?
Unfortunately, Phil, Steve is telling me, is my partner, you know, we're in a recession, and I can't keep the doors locked. You know, my suggestion, if I could, I'm not trying to tell you your business, but let's just forget it, ignore it, and let's continue to speak of a very serious situation, which is the case of Anthony. This is a woman, in my opinion, and in my opinion only, I'm sure that a great many people agree with me. That Casey Anthony has been a...
Boy, every time I talk to you, it seems like only fat women come in your store, because every time we're talking, it seems as if, just like now, it seems like that...
I'll tell you, no, not only fat women come in. What does that mean? What's that crack mean?
What do you mean, what does that crack mean? Every time I talk to you, I'm hearing what I'm hearing right now, which is a foghorn. I can't believe that there are heavy-set women that will come back to your store after being subjected to this clarion call, hey, here comes a fat woman.
It is a way of letting her know that she is a thick presence in the store. And we're not saying they're fat. I say that they're big. They're just real big. And, yes, big women want to have lingerie, too.
But if big women want to have lingerie, too, and you don't want them trying on your stuff in the store, then how do they even know that they're going to... How do you know they're going to buy anything there?
They always buy. And I tell them, you can buy this, you take it home. If you stretch it out of shape, if you destroy it, if you ruin it, if the elastic is shot after the very first wearing, if you've torn the fabric, minute, Steve. Give it a rest, will you? I understand that, but...
Well, you got to do something, man, because it's a little distracting.
Oh, really? It's distracting for you, but for me, I'm in his store all day long, and all he does is get his finger on the button. So the point I'm making is that these women, if they destroy the lingerie by taking it home, finally we have a reprieve. And why is it? Okay. They've got a yogurt. Like, it's pretty funny. They're giving away Yoplait over here. So.
And that's why you don't have any big women coming in.
That's what I'm figuring. Yoplait's got a giveaway. Next door, is it the yogurt place? It's over at the yogurt stand.
All right, let's get back to Casey Anthony as long as we have this moment. So, Casey Anthony, in your opinion, is when we talk about this woman being subjected to the reprisal, when we talk about this woman being subjected to vigilante justice, these are all rather ugly, I think, aspects to this case, and I don't think they put America in quite the right light. But you were saying to me it's common everywhere.
That this woman is some kind of an animal, you know. I don't want to say I'm a gentleman, you know, but anyone that would treat a child as this woman has, and I believe she has, as you have told me, and I agree with you, that I think that she is some kind of an animal that should be put. Where do you put an animal? You put it in a cage. You put it in a pen. You tie a rope around its neck, and you keep it tethered to a cage. And that's what I think this animal should do. But in the world, you see, the people of the world have looked at this case, and they don't react much different from the people of America. They all say the same thing. This pig, this cow. And believe me, I love women. And there is no one, I think, that you will speak with, Phil, that appreciates a woman more than I. And I've told you many times, you know, I'm bringing my own Argentinian culture to America. If I see a beautiful woman, I will say to her, you know.
Now, that is a very bizarre greeting that you use.
What do you mean bizarre? I don't know. What does that mean? Bizarre.
It's a very bizarre way of greeting a woman to just go like that.
Well, Phil, with all due respect, you have a very bad laryngitis. You just sounded like some kind of thing from a sewer. What you did?
What do you mean a thing from a sewer?
You went, I don't go, I'm not trying to do a horrible thing. I go, la, 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 la.
All right, I understand that, but that is you sticking your tongue out and wagging it at a perfectly strange woman. Isn't that right?
You see, here's the problem. When you say it, it sounds as if I'm a pig. Just a pig. Just a common pig. Nothing more, nothing less than a pig. A pig in a suit, a pig in an expensive pair of shoes, if you will. A pig who drives a sports car, but a pig nonetheless. When you tell people what I do, let me tell people what I do.
All right.
What I do, ladies and gentlemen, is I go up to a beautiful woman and I say, how are you? May I say to you, the compliments of my country, Argentina, la 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 la. Or, if I am in a mood to be more intimate with a woman, I will say to her, good evening. The compliments of my country, Argentina. Blah, 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 blah.
And you don't... All right.
Listen, you know, you sound so bad that when you try to talk, you sound like something that lives... You sound like that monster that lived in the street. What was that thing called? Cruel? The thing from the sewer? You know?
I don't know what you're talking about. All I'm saying is I'm suffering with laryngitis. But you and I have talked before. When you go blah, 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 or anything like that, I've heard women call this show and say, you sound like... You're mentally retarded.
Yes, I've heard that kind of slander. I heard that slander. I heard that slander from pigs that called you from my home country. I listened to a woman from Argentina call the show, and she said that I sounded like some kind of, and I'm quoting her. I did not use the word. She used the word. I did not use the word. She used the word. And she said I sounded like a retard, you know. But I'm here to tell you that when I say this to a woman, I say it with a great compliment. If I look at Casey Anthony, I would never go up to Casey Anthony and say, how do you do? I would not do that. The more appropriate thing to do with a Casey Anthony would be to have Phil Henry go up to her and go, ah, the way you sound.
I got to tell you something. Your store, is the business slowing down?
Business has slowed down ever since they started giving away the... they're giving away yogurt samples, and they've got some... there's a sour cream. What is it? A sour cream festival.
What do you mean a sour cream festival?
I don't know. Do I look like I know? Is that music? Because if it's getting us out of this segment, I'm very grateful because I have to. I really have to just. Yeah. I just needed to hear that.
Yeah, okay. Rudy Canoza and his partner, Steve. Thank you very much, Steve, for being with us. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back.
Phil Henry. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, 877-876. Phil is our number, and our website is philhenryshow.com. This is the groundbreaking Phil Henry Show. Next hour, we have with us Mr. Gandhi Sinclair from Haiti, and we'll talk about something we've been very interested in, and that is when the money gets to Haiti, then what? See, I've been hearing about, and you guys have heard us talking about how we need to raise money. We need this. And I heartily recommend that you not donate any more money to Haiti Relief until you find out exactly how the money is turned into the goods and services and supplies and medicines that they need, and then how it's eventually delivered to the people of Haiti. That's not a bad question to ask. I don't know about you, I'm real tired of hearing about how, oh, well, they ripped off this and they ripped off that. It's another, no. I don't give a damn how many people are dying, because the fact is they're going to croak anyway, no matter how much money I give, because there's somebody in the middle stealing it. So,
well, you just, why don't you wait till last hour?
Don't tell me how to do it.
Yeah, man, he knows what he's doing. Yeah, but you're spilling it all right now.
Don't, I feel very emotional about it. Do you mind?
Just get into the Gail Haggard thing.
I'm going to belt you.
Bill, I hit a retard.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, on account of the American Disability Act.
Oh, why don't you go and freaking get that oxygen tank out of here, okay, that I've been having to breathe out of. Now then,
you don't want to see that, man. It's bad for your image.
I ain't breathed out of that thing in a week and a half. I haven't either. People have been looking at our streaming video. Have you seen me taking oxygen? No. Have you seen me with a tube in my nose? No. Do I go upstairs and breathe it every night when I go to sleep? Yes. No, I don't. But to be honest with you, I might as well get into it. When I got back from the hospital, they brought with me, I brought with me one. Seriously, because I said to the doctor, I said, I got to get out of here, man. You got, oh, man, oh, baby, you got to get me out. You got to get me out, doc. And the doctor is looking at me, and they're, well, you know, Phil, I'm not going to let you go until this is an event. And as well they should. Doctors say, you know, you can want all you want, man, but we're not going to let you out until you're ready to be let out. Now, I could have gotten up and left anytime I wanted to.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can leave anytime you want on account it's not a concentration camp or anything about that, right?
Would you get that out of here like I said?
Sorry.
So anyway, the guy says, all right, we're going to let you go today, Phil, and everything's good. You know, your antibiotics kicking in, this, that. But we want to send you home with oxygen. I'm like, well, okay. Wow. So they wheel in a tank with a tube coming out of the nose. Now, I'm telling you right now, if you want something that'll make you feel like you're 100 years old, try sticking one of those plastic tubes with the oxygen in your nose and then dragging a tank behind you, walking down a corridor full of people, or maybe in a food court somewhere, or maybe on your way to a ball game. You know, all of a sudden, you're 57 going on 107. So I got into the car, we went home. Then the cat comes over to my house from the oxygen company with two more tanks, because this is what the doctors wanted. They wanted a machine that will turn regular air into oxygen. That's how bad off I was, man. I mean, I was sick, you know. So why am I on this topic?
I don't know, man. It started you talking about it. You shouldn't even talk about it.
Well, I might as well, because I told him to get the tank out of here. All right, I want to get on to something else. I want to get on to another disease. Yes, the disease of homosexuality. As you know, it can be cured. And Ted Haggard's wife says her man is cured of being a homosexual. Ted Haggard, now, he is the preacher that was caught, as I mentioned, with a male model, and I think they were involved in some kind of drug activity. Drugs, male model, you can well imagine oil was probably involved. I mean, certain things follow. Drug, male model, okay, so was there oil? Well, there was oil, And I don't know. Can we say that there were other men, pool parties? Yeah. Oh, male prostitute, not a model. Excuse me, I didn't mean to offend the male models. So in any event, Ted Haggard's wife is standing by her man no matter how many times he may have had homosexual affairs. Gail Haggard appeared on the Today Show on Wednesday to talk about her new book, Why I Stayed, The Choices I Made in My Darkest Hour, and declared that her one-time evangelical superstar husband was cured of his homosexual compulsions. Our sexuality is conditioned, and we can be conditioned in any number of ways, she told Meredith Vieira. Ted was dealing with certain compulsions that were unwanted. However, through therapy, she claims those compulsions, which she said Ted had suffered from most of his life, were gone. But that's not true for everybody, she added. That's his story. I don't know. So that's a very safe way of saying maybe some guys go back to being gay for the rest of their lives, and that's just where that's at. But Ted, he's good. He likes women, and he's been to the, I don't know what, to the gay camp where they pour hot fat on your exposed flesh until you scream and say, I'll never be a queer no more, and then you're good, see? So it's called aversion therapy.
Yeah, I'm talking about, in other words, torture.
Yeah, in other words, torture. No, I don't know if they do that. They do a lot of stuff that's, I've heard a lot of gay guys who've been in these camps because they really wanted to be straight, and they come out and they go back to being gay, and all we did was read Bible verse. It didn't help me. All I could think about was getting out of there. Now, Haggard admitted that her husband, who once led a church of nearly 14,000 worshipers, had a homosexual relationship early in their marriage. She said, I think at that point I was ignorant of the gravity. I felt as though, you know, we all struggle in different areas of our lives and certainly in our sexuality, so I was willing to forgive him. Well, how was she struggling?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Probably staying with this guy. Haggard said she might, she sought, Haggard said that he sought counseling then and told her it wouldn't happen again. I felt as though the problem was pretty much solved, she said, but it would reemerge in his life from time to time and he wouldn't tell me about it. Haggard also recounted the moment she learned there was some truth to the 2006 claims of drugs and gay sex that disgraced the religious leader who, at his height, reportedly consulted with President George W. Bush. And I hope that this is going to break us of, and this started really with Ronald Reagan, with all due respect, these superstar preachers who have access to the White House. I never liked it then, and I don't like it now. I don't mind people visiting. I just don't like it. Jerry Falwell used to hang out with Reagan. In fact, I think he had access at one point to the Pentagon or some crap. Where, you know, I'm watching, this is where the... You know, just keep these guys at arm's length. I don't know why I say this. Maybe it's because I don't think any good comes of it. Here's a guy here. He's talking with George Bush. Bush is down there at the farm right now, or the ranch or whatever he's at, saying, ah, man, are you telling me that guy's as queer? At, that's what I'm saying, Mr. President. Holy jeez! I felt shock, first of all, and then heartbreak. Once I discovered that there was some truth to the allegation, said poor Gail Haggard. I felt that my marriage was at a healthy place. Everything in my life felt healthy at that time. I felt healthy. He looked healthy. Everyone, you know, it was all real healthy. Even the guy he was seeing was healthy, or so I hoped. That was probably the happiest time of my life. So she thought that he was cured of being, you know,
a queer,
of being a homosexual. But little did she know. The couple was at their attorney's office the day after the shocking allegations first came to light. The prostitute, Mike Jones, claimed Ted had been a client of his for several years and had even bought drugs from him. I had gone to the bathroom and I'd gotten back and the attorney had told me to go into the office with Ted and he closed the door. I felt life draining from my body because things didn't feel right all of a sudden. When her husband confessed to her that there was some truth to the allegations, that happy image of life was shattered. I couldn't speak, Haggard said. I think I eventually uttered the words, who are you? And that's when he broke into a dance, which I didn't think was funny. And I told him, no, he didn't. She said, who are you? Because it was so far removed from the man that I knew, even though he'd go around town on a scooter. I knew I was going to have to make the choice early on as to what I was going to do, and I chose early on that I really do love this man, and I'm willing to fight with him for our marriage and our family. As a result, Haggard said her life has never been better. Our relationship is better than it's ever been. That's exactly what she said just before the other shoe dropped back there in 06, but okay.
Going over this mountain together is giving me the marriage I've always longed for, except next year I'll probably get another bombshell about him and somebody else having to do with Bangkok. I don't know, she said as she slammed the door of her Range Rover. So you feel sorry for these people. I'll tell you why. Because this guy is a homosexual, and he's not going to be, quote, cured of it. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to act, you know, I say act out. It doesn't mean that he will engage in any homosexual activity, but for the rest of her life, she's going to be with a man who is only half happy with his life because he'd rather be with guys, but he also loves her, and he loves the kids, and he wants to do the right thing by them, and he wants desperately to get back into preaching, you know. There's a really great, documentary on Ted Haggard that was done by, believe it or not, Nancy Pelosi's daughter, and I can't remember her name. She did it for HBO. She's done two, and it's terrific. It's terrific because the first one shows Haggard at the top of his popularity leading up to the revelations. The second one starts with his being ostracized by the church. He was thrown out of this church that he was in, right? And she starts off the movie by saying, so, Ted, the last time I saw you, you had all these friends. He goes, yeah. He says, where are your friends? Alexandra Pelosi, The Trials of Ted Haggard. I highly recommend it. You feel so sorry for this guy. You do. You feel so sorry for this guy. You cry because he's so self-deluded. He's not a bad guy. He doesn't come off as an evil man. He's just self-deluded, and she says she'd make that statement, where are all your friends? And, of course, you know, you talk about Christians. You know, at a time where this guy could probably use the fellowship of that church, he has been thrown out. So anyway, I just thought it was amazing. You know, one thing about Christianity, I shouldn't say that this is true of all Christianity, but the Christianity that so often we talk about in America, you know, lately I've been taken to watching white gospel clips on YouTube. I like the music. I like those white boys just singing that whole, oh, give me that old time. You know, I dig it. But one thing about the songs they sing, it's always about heaven. It's always about, I'm not going to be here long, and someday I'm going to be walking on those roads of gold. You know, or Jesus is building me a mansion, you know. It ain't nothing. There's one song about how, boy, I'm getting real itchy, man. I got to split off this planet, man, and get to heaven. It's all about, I got to get to heaven, got to get to heaven, got to get to heaven. If that's the focus, always, right? Of course you're going to take a guy like Ted Haggard and throw him in a gutter. You don't want to spend any more time with that queer than you have to, because you won't get to heaven, because that's the whole thing. All these tunes about, got to be, you know, got to get to heaven, got to, you know, I'm gold rolled, I'm going to do this, going to do that. Yeah, as a matter of fact, here it is. Now, I don't know if this is the song, Bud. Do you know which one?
No, I got a better one. This is way better, okay? Way better.
What do you mean, way better?
This is just a song that I think, because the other one stinks, but here's one that they sing so beautifully. Here it is.
All right, well, okay, The Prophets. And here's the song.
You can browse the web with it.
It is the... Get out of here with that. Now, where is it?
Right here.
What the hell is this?
This is really good.
What a wonderful world.
Will you get out of here with it?
That's the story.
Get out of here with that crap. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Next hour's. Oh, my God.
You got a nosebleed.
Yeah, I think I do. We'll be back next hour. Gandhi Sinclair.
My whole life's dream.
Phil Henry. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Coming up next hour, we have Mr. Gandhi Sinclair. He is a Haitian businessman with the Haitian Business Conference, and we're going to talk about the relief efforts made on behalf of the Haitian people by people the world over, and just exactly how that money is turned into the things the folks in Haiti need, and is it getting to them? Because that should be of overriding importance to anybody who thinks they're concerned with the situation in Haiti. Because I just think it's about more than you know, giving right at this particular point. All right, here's a story out of Australia that is interesting, and I know why they did this, and some people may argue, the opposite point of view. But here it is. And by the way, I had the good fortune of actually being in the office of Matt Groening once, when who created The Simpsons, where he was showing me all the bootleg stuff. He collected it. So look at this. There's a bootleg thing from Mexico. Here's a bootleg thing. All these things that were created based upon his characters from The Simpsons that were illegal because they did not have the copyright protection of having been created by him. Nonetheless, an Ipswich, Australia man has admitted downloading graphic cartoon porn images featuring child characters from The Simpsons and the Powderpuff Girls. The 28-year-old is now a registered sex offender and will have to report to police after pleading guilty in Ipswich District Court to having the bizarre images on his computer. Now, this is Australia. This is not the United States. And I forgive me, but you know what? I don't even know what the law states in the United States when it comes to animated images, cartoon images of children having sex. I have to believe that there's something akin to what they have in Australia, but I don't know. The 28-year-old is now a registered sex offender. Police went to Kurt James Milner's Leichhardt home on January 28th in 2008, over a year ago, January 24th, after receiving an anonymous tip-off about the disturbing material. Milner told police he would cooperate but did not want to give them his computer. But an hour and a half later, he phoned police and said they could have his computer. They could now have his computer. So I guess the police were looking for a search warrant. They probably had to go back, get a judge, and meanwhile this guy's trying to clean his computer up. Well, guess what? Officers discovered the computer would no longer turn on. But a year later, police forensic experts recovered 64 images of cartoon child exploitation material in the machine's recycle bin. Man, them cops, they'll get anything they want out them computers, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't make any difference what you do with it. The cop's going to get it every day.
That's right. That's right.
How they do that, man? If you hit if you hit delete, how come?
Because it's still in there, man. It's still in there, Jack. You know, if you want to get rid of that stuff, you're going to have to take your hard drive apart, take whatever, just take all the parts of the thing, smash them with a steamroller, something, you know.
Well, why don't people do that?
Because the cops are there. What do you do? Take your, the cops are there, right?
That's, the guy should have done that.
Maybe he should have. He tried to disable it. Maybe he should have run out and hired a steamroller. I don't know. But he didn't do it, and they got it, and guess what? So they recovered 64 images, and these 64 images, which I, this is the part that I find interesting, of cartoon child exploitation material. The images depicted figures from The Simpsons, The Powderpuff Girls, and The Incredibles in sexually explicit positions. Milner, a former security guard, told police he downloaded the images to show them to his friend because he believed they were funny. He pled guilty to charges of possessing child exploitation material. So that's the law as it's written in Australia. It exploits children in a sexual way. So it is not actually an image of a real kid, but it is an image designed to exploit the existence of children for sexual imagery, for sexual exploitation. You understand?
No.
I'm not going to explain it.
Well, why not?
Because he doesn't have the time to explain to you, dumbass.
I don't get it.
Good, you don't get it. So anyway, Milner was sentenced to 12 months in jail, but it was wholly suspended for 5 years. The conviction was recorded. He was also given a $1,000 good behavior bond for 5 years. The Crown prosecutor said the sentence needed to be harsh, as it was Milner's second conviction for having child exploitation material. He was convicted of possessing child exploitation material in 2009. After 59 sexual images of actual youngsters were found on his computer. Although these offenses involve cartoon characters, it is nonetheless serious, especially since he has a prior conviction. So the way the law is written there in Australia, if you have a cartoon image of a child engaged in sex, then that is sexually exploitive of children, and that's where they get you. Now, like I said, I don't know what the law is here in the States. I just got a IM here from Jace. Well, I don't know whether that says it or not.
Right. If you have a cartoon porn of Bart and Lisa Simpson having sex, should it land you under the offender list, though? That's the whole thing.
Well, this jackball already had stuff of other kids, okay?
What if it was the only thing he had, a Bart Simpson nude? If you have, like, if you got Bart Simpson nude of the waist down.
If you have Bart Simpson what?
Nude from the waist down.
Bart Simpson nude from the waist down, what about it?
Do you deserve to be on a sex offender list or what?
I don't know, man, but I'll tell you something right now. If either one of you guys, let me put it to you this way. If I found out that either one of you guys had a picture of Bart Simpson nude from the waist down, I'd fire both of you, and I would also contact the police. You understand?
God, I mean, all we're asking about is the way that whether you would do it or not.
If I found out that either one of you guys had any of this stuff, you're fired and I'd call the cops. Do you understand?
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Do you have that?
No, man, I'm just asking. You call that sexuality that a Bart Simpson ain't wearing no shorts?
Yeah, if he had no underwear.
Okay, you know what you heard what I just said, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I just said. I'm not explaining anymore. If he had no underwear. The law in the United States seems to state that realistic image of cartoon child porn can be deemed illegal, but obvious cartoon depictions can be protected by the First Amendment. So our law here in the United States is slightly different. In Australia, they don't fool around with it. It's interesting. Parody cartoon sex is also protected, I assume, even if it's between two cartoon images of children. It's weird, man. All right, coming up, we've got Mr. Sinclair from Haiti on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
What about Phil Henry?
No wonder.